What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, it is, and Luke Morrow is in for Ron the Show Ugly. Big prayers up for my man Ron the Show Ugly. He stuck out in Turks and Caicos, a little hurricane action going
stuck?
On out there.
Oh, no.
Stuck. I mean, hell, look, no. I've been stuck in worse places, Rich. I have been stuck in worse places.
Hold on,
now,
so.
We don't play with hurricanes around here, so I hope everything True. Is okay. I hope the flight issue is the only issue that they have. I know Ron out there, he's worried about the $1,000 hotel room that they're trying to hit him with instead of that getting back to Texas. He's worried about that damn money.
That price gouging got him feeling some kind of way.
Hey, they got you over a barrel, brother. They got you over a barrel. There's a hurricane. You ask, can't get out. You're going to pay whatever you got. Whatever they ask, you're going to pay for that damn hotel room. And I think, here's what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to pay for the hotel room. Chalk it up to your in-laws are down here babysitting them kiddos. Let them just chill out and relax. Hey, some of that expense could go towards maybe if you were having to hire a babysitter for three kiddos. Right? Hey, man, go on and enjoy a couple more days with your bride, man. Make the best of it and leave them folks alone. Don't try to save you $100 or two here. But Luke Morrow is in as he has a couple of times for Ron over the last couple of weeks. Tyler Milner is behind the glass on the ones and twos. I got a request for payment this morning, so I'm going to assume we didn't win any money this weekend. But
far from a perfect 6 for 6 Friday.
Yes, Clint. yes, that's what we were looking for, right? Yeah. And it is it's a reaction Monday, y'all. The Texans they did play preseason game number 2. They got out of there with a dub and no injuries. The Texans have also made a trade today. Nick wins again, or did he win again? And on that Texans front, we got a little programming note here. Texans general manager Nick Caserio will be on Payne and Pendergast at 7:30. Is that tomorrow morning?
I'll double check.
Is it tomorrow morning or Wednesday?
I want to say yes, but I want to say tomorrow, but let me double check real quick.
Let me check that text from my man Pendergast. That's right. Celebrities text me from time to time.
Pendergast and Payne.
And Pendergast put that text out there. Hey, tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday, Payne and Pendergast, Nick Caserio will be live, baby. And that's usually 30 to 45 minutes. So set a reminder, 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday, Nick Caserio. And make sure you're good and loose for about 30, 45 minutes, man, so you can catch that in full. If you do happen to miss it, remember that Odyssey app's got a rewind feature that is clutch big time. Now, the Astros did play a series, three-game series this weekend versus the O's. They dropped 2 of 3. They got outscored 44-17 in a 6-game homestand. We will be cussing and discussing that. We got updates, Hader updates. We got Yordan updates. We got McCullers. We got Luis Garcia updates. We got all kind of stuff coming y'all's way today. Make sure you stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Let's start with them Texans, boys. This is Texas, man. Football is king. Let's start with them Texans. They do get the win 20-3, which, again, I mean, I think winning anytime you can get a dub, it is a beautiful thing, and the Texans got it. And I'm going to tell you, Luke, for me personally, you weren't in on Friday, but when Friday leading into the weekend, Brandon Scott was in, and I told B. Scott, I said, look, we ended the show with this right here. What do you hope to know after the game that you don't know while we were doing that show Friday? I said, I got a handful of things, and every single one of them, the one thing they have in common, guys, is I want to know more about the guys that we've never seen in a Texans uniform before, right? Look, Nico, CJ, Will, Daniil, you know, Bullock and Stingley, and while all those guys, Lassiter, all those guys are great. Right, Aziz, that's great. But there's nothing those guys can do, good, bad, or indifferent, that's going to make me change my opinion or concern level or lack thereof for any of those guys. Right? I want to know more about the guys that we are going to lean into and that we need to play well for us to equal or exceed what we did the last couple of years, right? And, Luke, I'm going to tell you, man, right out of the gate, starters did play and – played two series, C.J. Stroud missed Nico Collins on a go route down the sideline in that first series. That would have been hit your head on a go post type stuff, which I'm not concerned about because C.J. Stroud will hit that the next nine times. Not worried about it one bit. No big deal. The next series was awfully impressive, right? The next series was awfully impressive, much like the first series in the Minnesota game. It was on all fronts in the pass game, the run game, the screen game, the quick game, the mid-range game. It just seemed like it was all coming together for Nick Caley's offense. But my first takeaway right here is, yes, the offensive line got good push. Yes, the offensive line was able to run the football effectively. You had Nick Chubb, I believe he had 5 carries for 25 yards, long of 9, average of 5, right? But I want to zero in on 2 guys, Luke, that are absolute game changers, and I mean game changers if they are who we saw them be on Saturday. That is center Jake Andrews and right guard Ed Ingram. If those 2 guys right there, because, by the way, I'm telling you, the push was real. We've heard Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast, former defensive lineman, former interior defensive lineman for the Texans. We've heard him say he's watched Jake Andrews. And the difference between Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson at the center position is Jake Andrews can get under folks' pads and is a mover of men. He, in terms of moving mass and reestablishing the line of scrimmage, Jake Andrews is that guy. Now you mix Ed Ingram in there, with Titus Howard having to go to right tackle, right? No Cam Robinson. Ariante Erstree moves to left tackle. Titus Howard moves from right guard to right tackle. And now you've got a guard problem. Well, all of a sudden, this Ed Ingram fella, who was highly drafted, had spent a couple of years in Minnesota, 2-3 years in Minnesota, trying his damnedest to hang on and could never get it figured out. Most of his struggles were in the pass protection game, my understanding is was protecting the quarterback. But when it comes to running the football and setting the tone and moving men and reestablishing the line of scrimmage, Luke, Ed Ingram, they all did a good job, but Ed Ingram and Jake Andrews, for me, in that first quarter of that Texans game were show-stopping, like, hey, look at what we're doing. This is what DeMeco has been asking this O-line to do. This is what Cole Popovich has been asking this O-line to do. These guys have been talking about being physical, talking about punching people in the mouth, talking about running the football. In particular, Jake Andrews and Ed Ingram were special Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ed Ingram stood out the most to me, and I've been shocked by his turnaround, this revitalization, because, look, I didn't grow up in this area. I grew up a Vikings fan, and so I watched all of Ed Ingram play in Minnesota, and I did not like that addition for the Texans because I've seen his entire career, and, you know, very unimpressive. I thought he was lousy. I don't think coming into this summer, I didn't think he was a starting lineman in the NFL. But it's only preseason, but Pro Football Focus, for what that's worth, has him ranked right now as the 4th best run blocking lineman in preseason. And as you said, that was his strength more so than the pass block. And I think fit is the most important thing in life for all of us, whether it's a job, a relationship, whatever, a city you live in, it's always about fit. And so I think credit to the Texans for bringing in those 2 guys that were kind of castaways elsewhere, but they saw something in them and they saw that fit where, no, Ed Ingram didn't work out in Minnesota, but what we're trying to accomplish here of being physical and moving guys forward, and he's much better in the run blocking aspect of the game, we're going to play to that strength and plug him into our system where it'll be a better fit. And so far, so good. That's been the most pleasant surprise for me this summer because, like I said, I mean, he looked like he was playing himself out of the league, and now suddenly he's turned himself, again, only preseason, but he's turned himself into one of the better-looking linemen to this point, at least when it comes to run blocking, and he was really good once again Saturday.
Well, definitely a guy that has all the tangibles, right? And so you take a guy that has all the tangibles, and then you do what you said. All of a sudden, you look up and you go, okay, fit does matter. Like, if you can't play, fit don't matter.
Right.
But if you got some tools to work with, and all of a sudden you get Cole Popovich, you get a little different approach of offensive football, where if I don't know what the numbers would tell you, but I think with Sam Darnold, I mean, and Kevin O'Connell, I think they're probably, and I don't know what they wanted to be, but I think they were probably down the stretch a little bit more pass happy than they probably would have wanted to be, which I think probably exposed Ed Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And I know right now the Texans want to be a run first football team, play great defense, let the other team you know beat themselves kind of deal. That may be the perfect fit for Ed Ingram. Look, I don't want to overthink this. It was one preseason game, to your point, but it's hard to watch that game and not get excited about Ed Ingram and about Jake Andrews with what we've watched as Texans fans and what we've covered as Texans fans. Even, I mean, literally, I've been talking about the lack of physicality up front since Bill O'Brien was here, right? And I was led to believe multiple times, which I'm not saying that's not the truth, that, you know, man, well, it's just coach different now. You know, it's a different generation. These guys are taught different. These guys are this. These guys are that. Ed Ingram and Jake Andrews must be cut from the old cloth. They must have been coached different coming up, because those two guys are moving folks. And it was beautiful to watch. Again, Nick Chubb. So Ed Ingram and Jake Andrews, two guys that were not in Texans uniforms last year. That was nice to see them Saturday. Nick Chubb, another guy that was not in a Texans uniform last year, that is this year. That these are all guys, by the way, that we're gonna be depending on in a big way. Nick Chubb, 5 carries for 25 yards, long of 9. I'm going to be honest with you. I know Nick Chubb is not some highlight reel running back, but I'm pretty stoked about Nick Chubb being our running back in this particular system to open the season. Look, I don't know. A month from now, we may look up and go, hell, here we are once again. We ain't physical enough to run a damn ball, so CJ's got to throw it 50 times. And it may be a different story at that point in time. But right now, going into the season, with potentially going into the season with no Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb being that guy, stylistically, even if he's not who he was a year ago or 2 years ago, still his style, his between the tackle style, bowling ball build, and like it's hard to tackle a bowling ball. People get tired of that crap, man. You know, and to have that guy to turn around and hand the ball off to in that approach, at least from the outside looking in before the season starts, is good. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I think he's what the Texans want this offense to be in a nutshell, where it's not necessarily explosive. They're going to have to find some explosiveness in this offense, and that will come. But just the idea of that tough physical football, staying ahead of the chains and moving forward. And he might not pop a lot of runs, but as long as he's not going backwards and you're playing ahead of the chains and you're avoiding second and long, and you're... Because, look, all the C.J. Stroud, all but one throw was considered a quick throw, less than 2.5 seconds. Like, I think that's what a lot of this offense is going to be, of just let's methodically move the ball down the field. Let's play good defense. Let's take care of the football on offense and, you know, more of this short passing and physical ground game.
Yep.
And that's what the Chiefs, if you go back, you look last year, I mean, the Chiefs were in the middle of the league in explosive plays. That's what they relied on, a good defense and being able to run the football and shorten games, and they weren't necessarily explosive, but they were able to convert the chains and, you know, shorter passes for Mahomes. And I think that's what Mixon brings to the offense, and that's what this offense will try to be, of let's just stay ahead of the chains. We're not looking to bust 80-yard runs like, you know, Adrian Peterson, but let's just keep moving forward down the field and not fall behind, you know, second and long.
Well, you want to talk about protecting your quarterback and letting him play a more efficient, conservative brand of ball, keeping him clean. You want to talk about your new offensive coordinator, give him a damn chance, right? Then stay ahead of the chains, right? 2nd and 7 is a lot easier than 2nd and 12, 2nd and 13. 2nd and 10, if you get nothing, or if you have to throw the ball, it's incomplete. So the Nick Chubb, Ed Ingram, Jake Andrews, also not in a uniform last year, but in a Texans uniform this year, the Iowa State rookies. You look at Knowles' return plus extended play. He had some extended play. Higgins had that catch on the second drive, the touchdown drive, and he got extended play as well. Neither one of them made plays that were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we stole those guys in whatever round they came in. But they both contributed. They both flashed. Neither of them were here last year, and both of them are going to be, look, when it comes to roster construction, they're going to be the 3rd and 4th receiver on this team. I don't know if it's going to come out like that on the depth chart, but they're going to be the safest. You know, they're going to be in the top 4 safest wide receivers on this team come roster time. And so seeing those two guys do their thing was reassuring. And then also the depth corners, right? Jalen Smith, 3rd-round pick out of USC. He's got a pick. Arquette also has a pick late. And I don't know how Arquette's going to factor into Arnett. I'm sorry. What did I say? Arquette's the old actor, isn't it?
Yeah, David Arquette.
Yeah, David Arquette. I'm thinking of the actor. He's not that guy. That was not who had that interception for the Texans. It's Arnett. But those depth corners playing well, again, two guys that were not here in Houston last year, that I think are competing for a position, them playing well, turning the football over is big in this system. And it's going to go a long way to whether they can make this team or not, Luke. So, the Iowa State rookies and the depth at corner were big.
Yeah, we talked about Higgins when I was in with you last week on Thursday. So even though it was just one little catch there, but on a nice out route, to see him get involved in the passing game was good on Saturday. Honestly, I watched it, and it's only preseason, so I have to try to guard against being a prisoner of the moment. But I came away from that game with all positives. There was nothing I saw Saturday was like, oh, shoot, you know, I really didn't like this, or I'm really worried about this, or we have to figure this out. I thought it was almost like a best case scenario where, as you have laid out here in this opening segment, I mean, everyone contributed, everyone did their part. You got to see from the new guys on this team that weren't here last year. And it was a lot of positives from this team on Saturday that you come out of it feeling good, where most of the starters, probably all the starters, shouldn't play this final week, final preseason game, and then you gear up for the regular season in LA in week one. But a lot of things looked really good Saturday, and I was really pleased with what we saw from the Texans.
All right, the Texans did make a move. They made a trade, and I gotta get you in. I gotta let you know who that was and what it means for the Texans moving forward. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Houston Sports Station is a Marconi finalist. For the first time, the National Association of Broadcasters selected Sports Radio 610 as one of five nominees for Sports Station of the Year. And we couldn't do it without you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for interacting. Thanks for making us not just Houston sports leader, but one of the best stations in all of the country. Houston's Marconi nominated sports leader is Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. The Texans have made a trade. I don't think this anybody that covers a team, this shouldn't surprise at all. Something had to give. I think there's a couple of different positions where the Texans have a the numbers aren't going to add up, right? They've got too many wide receivers. They've got too many linebackers. If they're healthy, they got too many running backs. And some of those guys happen to be tradable assets. And
Casario's got to get to 53 somehow.
Yeah, he's got to get to 53 somehow, and it's not going to be easy, boy, which is a beautiful thing for all of us here that are Houston Texans fans, right? The topic here is simple. John Mechie was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Wide receiver John Mechie and a sixth-round draft pick was traded to the Eagles for tight end Harrison Bryant and a fifth-round draft pick. Now, Harrison Bryant was a former fourth-round pick in the 2020 draft. He was a John Mackey Award winner out of Florida Atlantic, played for Lane Kiffin, I believe. Is that right, at Florida Atlantic? Was that,
yep.
Golly, I thought Lane was there that long ago, huh? That recent. I was thinking, I think it feels like Lane's been at Ole Miss for 20 years, doesn't it? But he hadn't. He's only been there a handful. But ultimately, the Texans had more wide receivers, especially in that bunch of do you make the roster, do you not make the roster? Can you help this team or not? Can you get snaps or not? Look, I think you had Nico Collins, you had Christian Kirk, you had Noel and Higgins, the two rookies out of Iowa State. Those were your four that were definitely going to make the football team. Then you got Braxton Berrios. I believe that he is definitely going to make the football team. I think Xavier Hutchinson has played himself into a position where he's definitely making this football team. That's six guys. And so then you look around and you go, okay, who's left? And you got John Mechie and I think Justin Watson, the cat they brought in from that spent some time in Kansas City. I think those two guys were really battling right there on the bubble of, hey, man, can you make this roster or can you not? And on the flip side of that, you look up with the Brevin Jordan injury. There is a need at the tight end position, right? What kind of need? I think you can take your pick. I think it matters who's available, right? I mean, there's room for a difference-making tight end. There's room for a veteran tight end. There's room for a pass-catching tight end. There's room for a run-blocking tight end. You take your pick, and there's just a need at the tight end room. Nick Caserio is able to flip former second-round pick John Mechie for tight end Harrison Bryant at a position of need, at a thin position on the depth chart, and this is a plus. I mean Harrison Bryant is a veteran tight end that has been in some places where, I mean, there's just a number one tight end that he's just not better than. I mean, the kid in Cleveland, he was never going to play more than him. Cat in, what was it, Philly and Las Vegas. I mean, yeah. Those two, all of those teams have one or two tight ends that he's just not going to crack the starting lineup. He's not going to get much run. So you can argue that there's been some really good tight ends ahead of him and kind of kept as roadblocks kept him from playing. And he's probably a little bit more talented than what his resume would tell you. I like this move. I think the Harrison Bryant, the tight end, fits in really good here, both with the need and stylistically. And John Metchie was probably going to get cut. So you upgraded a tight end position and you upgraded a draft pick from a 6th to a 5th, Luke. I like this move by Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move by the Texans. You know, we were talking about that wide receiver room last week and how things would shake out, and I figured it'd come down to Metchie and Hutchinson, and someone actually asked on the text line, like, oh, could you who would be more valuable in a trade? That could help make the decision. And I responded on the text line, not on air, but I said I thought Metchie would carry more value, and then sure enough, he's the one that does get traded. And I think it is a good trade in the sense that you have that guy who becomes expendable at the wide receiver position, and then you help bolster the tight end room after an injury. And I'm curious to see how things play out with Harrison Bryant because, you know, he was named to the all-rookie team as a rookie tight end with the Browns. Pro Football Focus also that year ranked him as one of the best rookies in the league, and he never fully developed. To your point, they had David Njoku, so he was always kind of held back at that position. But he's somebody that has ability, and we saw that when the Browns came here for that playoff game with Flacco a couple years ago. He had 4 catches for 62 yards, had one big catch and run as well in that game. So that was probably also in the mind of Nick Caserio on this Texans front offense, remembering what he had done on the field here against them. But I think he's somebody that has potential and has some ability at that tight end position. And it's not a knock on Metchie, but it's a numbers game, you know, so you can move on from him and not necessarily feel that pain, and you turn that situation into a positive by bringing in somebody that can help you more.
Yeah, and I think what it does is it takes a ton of pressure off of Dalton Schultz. It takes a ton of pressure off of Cade Stover as well. I mean, you're really in a position where whether there was a 12 personnel, you know, in the game or not, you were going to have to, Dalton Schultz and Cade Stover were going to get a heavy workload, which I still think they will, but now you have a veteran tight end that can come in, and at some point, he's going to take some time to learn the offense, but at some point now you have him and you have Irv Smith. You got 2 veteran tight ends behind him that should be able to execute every part of this offense. Now, Harrison Bryant to me is a guy that, one, you could pull Schultz out and put him in the game, and you've got just as you maybe not just as good in terms of like their film over their NFL career. Harrison hasn't had a season the way that Dalton Schultz has, but I think they're similar stylistically and play style wise. You know, he's a guy that you can put both of them on the field at the same time, and Dalton Schultz and him, and you could maybe get some mismatches. I think Harrison Bryant is bigger than just a depth play. I think he is a guy that at some point in time the Texans feel like they could get some run-up out of. In college, like I said before, he was a John Mackey Award winner, which means he's the best tight end in the country. He had 30 starts in college. Does that sound right? 30? Did he get...
He was there, I believe, 3 years. So, yeah, that would add up.
90 catches, 790 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, this is that's in the league.
Oh, okay.
That's in the league. And he actually went for over 1,000 yards in college his last year in college. So this is NFL, 30 starts, 89 catches, 790 yards, 10 touchdowns. So not a ton of production, but when he gets in there, he has some success. Again, I like the trade. How he fits in with the Texans, as I said, I think it's an immediate vet. You know, vet depth there that you can count on. And then where I was trying to find these college stats, he went over 1,000 yards his senior year. So clearly this is a guy that can catch a rock, that can run after the catch. And again, should be able to help us. We'll see.
Yeah, and he actually was an offensive tackle that then turned into a tight end, which then, you know, helps with the blocking ability. So to your point, bringing him in and have
did
those
not
two
know
tight
ends. That's
yeah. So, you know, obviously, as you look at the numbers from college, he can catch the he can catch and run with the football.
Yeah.
But as a guy who came up as a lineman, you know, that helps him try to be able to block from that position as well. So I like the move for the tight. It's really, to me, it's a no. You know, Metchie was fighting for maybe the last wide receiver spot, in my opinion, right? So it's a no-lose move where you try to bolster your tight end room at really little cost.
All right, the Astros, they dropped 2-3 to the O's this weekend, split a homestand, 6-game homestand, 3-3. The boys are passing some kind of bug around, it seems like, the old clubhouse over there. We got a Hader update. We got a Yordan update. We got a McCullers update. Hell, we got an Astros update. We'll do that next. Right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. We got a hell of a show lined up for y'all, man. We got a lot of action. Reaction Monday with the Texans. Texans make a trade. Astros, some good, a lot of bad. The Astros, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Orioles. Split a little six-game homestand here, and it was not good the entire homestand, if we're being completely honest.
We'll get out of this little funk.
Astros got outscored 44-17 in a six-game homestand. Somehow still won three of those games. And Luke, I think, look, Friday night, just to address this Orioles series here, Friday night, the Astros damn near got perfect game by some old boy from Lumberton. No disrespect. I should probably, because he is a Texas boy, I should probably give more love than that. But they said Lumberton 4,000 times on the broadcast, and that just stuck in my head. Saturday, Jason Alexander was solid again. The Astros got the dub there. And then Sunday, Javier came out of the game early with that Pena sickness, whatever it was Pena had. I think he's passing around the damn clubhouse, it looks like. And then the wheels came off after that, and Chaz McCormick ended up on the damn bump. I think big picture here, Luke, I think the conversation needs to be had starts first and foremost with the bullpen, right? I mean, the bullpen has struggled mightily. Obviously, the Hader news is an issue. The Hader injury is an issue obviously. But when you look at, I'll give you, this is McTaggart. Astros relievers posted 11.31 ERA, 31 earned runs in 24 and two-thirds innings with 8 homers allowed during that six-game homestand. Now, I know they were obviously overused because when it gets out of hand, all of a sudden you're pulling guys and throwing them in there, and they're not used accordingly. But the bullpen here, right? I mean, the bats went to bed 2 of the 3 Orioles games, obviously, and then the bullpen, man. Take your pick. Which one you want to address first?
Yeah, I think the bullpen's the bigger problem. I mean, how about the fact that Chaz McCormick lowered the bullpen ERA over the homestand?
How about it?
It's brutal. So there's a couple spots on there. Dubin shouldn't be on the big league roster anymore. 37 ERA since returning.
Luke, I'm telling you, if you came to me and said, hey, Clint, I mean, let's call it 2 weeks ago. Hey man, give me your guys, just the guys that you like to watch, guys that when they go to the bump, you're like, man, this guy's got some stuff, man. He's fun to watch. There's some intensity there. Dubin would have been on that list.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so, I'm sitting at that damn game. It was the second Red Sox game when they got blown out.
Yeah.
With my mom, and Dubin pulls out of the pen. Right. What's the lefty's name that was in there? The out of the bullpen.
Who was it? Okert. Yeah.
Okert's in there. They get one on. Boom. He gets 2 quick outs. And Espada pulls him for Dubin. The next thing you know, Dubin gives up 2 bombs, right? But I lost a $5 bet to my mom betting on Dubin's ass. And now here, like, you start your thoughts with Dubin shouldn't be on the team anymore.
No, I mean, maybe he's still injured. But since returning, he has a literal awful 37 ERA in 3 appearances. He's been terrible. Weems is not a big league pitcher. We knew that. The problem is, though, you don't really have guys to replace him. I mean, you could put like Blue Ball in the bullpen, somebody along those lines. But there's not. I don't think there's really a better option, or you hope you get some more Garcia back and McCullers back, and maybe one of them slots into the bullpen. But that's the concern, is just like there's no reinforcements for the bullpen. There's no guys in the minors. There's no guys coming back from injury. Now you lose Hader as well. I don't know who you can really trust in that bullpen. It's got a lot thinner. And that was actually my concern before the start of the season. All offseason I was saying that. I'm worried about this bullpen. I thought it was going to hold them back. And it took about 5 months, but now finally this bullpen is becoming a problem for these Astros. And it's a big problem. Without Hader at the back end, you know, it shortens things even more, and you're going to have to have guys step into bigger leverage spots than they're used to or maybe even qualified for. So that's the biggest concern for me. You're going to try to get a few more starting pitchers back, try to figure that out. The lineup, hopefully you get Yordan back within a week is the hope. But the bullpen, like, I don't know. Who are you getting back? The only thing would maybe be a starter that you try to convert into a reliever for the rest of the season, and that's no guarantee because you're putting them into a new role. So I'm most worried about the bullpen for sure.
Yeah, the bullpen is definitely a major issue. And look, it's definitely an issue when you're playing in games, you're getting outscored 44-17 in a six-game stretch, and Chaz McCormick is finishing 2 of the ball games kind of deal. So clearly – It gets a little bit out of whack because, again, guys are being – I mean, with Javier coming out in the third inning, I mean, guys are being they're overly taxed. Mm-hmm. But still, it's no excuse for the pissy-poor performance. I mean, so the circumstances are obviously as bad as they get in baseball. If Chaz McCormick is finishing two of the last six games, clearly it's awful. But here's real quick a couple of updates. Again, this is Brian McTaggart. Josh Hader said it would take him 3 weeks to build up after not throwing for the next 3 weeks. So don't expect to see him in the regular season. Playoffs do remain a possibility. Surprising on the Hader front for you or no?
No, I thought he'd be out for the rest of the year, and I didn't expect to see – I still don't expect to see him in the playoffs, unfortunately. I don't think we see a Hader pitch again until next season. I mean, best-case scenario, who knows what the offseason brings. But right now, best-case scenario is he returns only for the playoffs, but that's if everything goes according to plan. And as we know, these Astros, very few, if any, injury returns actually go on the timeline that they lay out. There's usually always a delay, so I would not expect to see Hader. Unfortunately, I would not expect to see him the rest of this year, including October.
All right, so not good news on the Josh Hader front. Here's a little bit of good news. General Manager Dana Brown said Luis Garcia would likely make one more rehab start, with McCullers likely to join the rotation first. So both of those guys seem to be right on the cusp of getting back into the rotation to some degree. Now, Luis Garcia may be a guy that could help with some of those pin issues, as you mentioned. I don't know what their plan looks like. Their plan is maybe even go to a longer rotation there if need be. But Luis Garcia is a guy that could potentially be some of that help for the bullpen, right? Or do you expect him to come in as a starter out of the gate?
No, I mean, at this point, if you look at that starting rotation, I guess it depends what you get out of Javier moving forward and Arrigetti. Like, Jason Alexander's pitching so well, you can't take him out of the rotation right now. Obviously, you have Hunter Brown and you have Fromber, so you have to find out, you have to figure out those other two spots, and those are going to be filled by the guys coming back from injuries. Lance McCullers has said, I'm a starter, not a reliever. I always wanted him in the bullpen this year, so maybe you cross him off the list of like, oh, if we're going to use him, it's going to have to be in the starting rotation. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a mix and match and numbers game. Maybe Garcia is one of those guys that winds up in the bullpen instead. I mean, especially because he's been out the longest. It's been over 2 years for him. So you can ease him back with fewer innings.
Why does it feel like yesterday I was watching Luis Garcia pitch? It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but I guess we're used to it, right? But
yeah.
With the thing about Luis Garcia, look, the thing about all these guys coming back is it may not be a true bullpen piece, but like you look at what happened yesterday with Christian Javier. They're definitely pieces that, you know, it could be piggyback types of options. What was that, three years ago? I can't remember. I remember doing shows with the Astros in the playoffs going, man, I just hope the starter can at least get us three innings. I hope he just gets us three. Because there was a piggyback always ready with Luis Garcia and Christian Javier and all these different guys. And so you at least have that opportunity. Are you – I know the bullpen's a problem. What's your thoughts, Luke, on just getting through the regular season, just getting through, having enough arms to get through 162 in shape? You got a one-and-a-half-game lead in the division right now. It's not like you can tiptoe through the tulips.
No, that's right. But that's the crazy thing is, as bad as this weekend was for the Astros, the lead remained the same. Yeah. Like, the Astros had a terrible homestand this past week, and yet the Mariners were not able to gain any ground the last couple of days. So I think a lot of Astro fans kind of rest their hat on that, of just like, it's the Mariners. We don't have to worry about them, because typically the Mariners always find a way to fall apart this time of year. So maybe you could get through the regular season. It's what I said last week. Like, I'm not so worried about the regular season. You could try to piece this together, throw maybe a Garcia. Or actually, I guess I said the opposite last week now that I think about it. I'm not as worried about the postseason, because you can throw more of your starters in the bullpen. But yes, getting through the rest of the regular season is the point I was trying to make, is the greater concern, because you still need to use five, if not six, starting pitchers, where that differs in the playoffs. So you got to find some arms. Maybe it's these guys coming back. They hope to get McCullers back in the next week, Garcia the week after that. So you are going to add two more arms in the next 2 weeks that are going to have to fit somewhere or push somebody else, you know, into that bullpen spot. And hopefully that's enough, but you're getting no true relievers coming back, and you have no good options as true relievers in the minors. So even for McCullers to become a reliever, something he has said he doesn't want to do. Like, I don't know if that's the best plan to rely upon. Or Garcia stepping into that role after 2 years and now suddenly trying to convert to a reliever in the short term after you were already trying to stretch him out. I don't know if that's the best. And then can they pitch high leverage situations out of the bullpen that they're not used to doing? So anyways, there's a lot of questions to still be answered with that bullpen. Once you get to the playoffs, you'll have more options in the bullpen. But for the regular season, yeah, this is where it gets a little tricky to try to navigate these next 6 weeks.
Well, we got to. I know Ron's not here, but I'm gonna weigh in, Tyler. It's 3 o'clock, baby. I'm gonna get my weigh in.
That's right. It's weighing day. Luke pointed that out earlier.
I've been thinking for this about 2-3 days now. I got to get my weigh in. And look, I'll be honest with you. This damn these injury reports are so damn lengthy that we didn't even get to the most important one. There is an injury report on the best Astro that we have not seen much this season at all. We'll tell you who that is, what that report is. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.